And now another no-brainer money-saving tip from Progressive.
Marcus, what happened?
I was changing my oil and I spilled some on the floor.
Oh, well, use these $50 bills to wipe it up.
Perfect. Got any more?
Yeah, take a couple hundred.
Stop. Instead of using money, use an old rag. And here's a better tip from Progressive on how not to waste money. Don't pay too much for car insurance. Drivers who switch and save could save hundreds. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Potential savings will vary.
This episode of the Old Dogs REI Network is brought to you by Mino Studio. Mino Studio is a pre- and post-production facility for all of your audio needs. Mino Studio's founder is an accredited audio engineer with top 40 and indie album credits. With over 30 years of music industry experience, Mino Studio can take your podcast from idea to reality. Contact Mino Studio at minostudio777@gmail.com for more information. That's Mino Studio spelled M-E-N-O, minostudio777@gmail.com. Welcome to the Old Dogs REI Network, where cash flow is king. Real estate investing, the means, so you can enjoy your retirement dreams. This is the show where we cut right to the chase. No sales pitch, no long monologues, just simple how-to real estate investing advice, so you can earn the passive income you need to enjoy your retirement today. And now, your host and chief old dog, Bill Manicero.
Hello? Old Dogs, and welcome to
Fun Facts Friday.
This is our once a week, only on Friday show, where we have special episodes not featuring guests, where I will share tricks, tips, terminology, and techniques that will help skyrocket you to real estate investing success. Today's topic is View from the Trenches, Stealth Tenant Marketing Update from Indy. As many of you know, and I mentioned this a couple of episodes ago, that I have become very proactive here, and I'm moving into one of my apartment buildings, actually, in Indianapolis. And just to take you back a little bit here, being an out-of-state investor definitely has its advantages and disadvantages. There are more advantages, I would say, than disadvantages. But this month, actually, it's been, or in the last couple of months, it's been a disadvantage to be away. And this has prompted me to actually hop on a plane and fly out to Indianapolis to reside in one of my properties here, this 22-unit apartment in Indianapolis. Sometimes you got to do that. When you've got a property and there's things you got to do, you got to do it. And that's what has prompted this from happening. So those of you that are regular listeners, you know that the reason I hit the road here in October, actually I flew out October 4th, was to, number one, to better understand the tenant dynamics and the local market in the community and the neighborhood that I have my property in. I think a better understanding will help me to better position it, to market it, and to make it more into what's going to be successful in the long run. Number two, I also have a number of rehab efforts going on here, and we want to try to move that forward. And that's part of my effort here as well, is to advance that, to work directly with contractors and so forth to make that happen. In addition, and really sort of the primary focus here has been to put together what I call a stealth tenant marketing effort. And the effort there is to really aggressively go after and bring in the types of tenants that we want to have and hopefully can have move into our apartment community. Right now, my current occupancy is 68%, which is just way too low. So my goal here is to bring us up to 90%. And part of my motivation as well is knowing that November through January are some of the slowest rental months traditionally. And so I took off the beginning of October in the hope of taking advantage of October as a means to get tenants in. my commitment is to stay as long as I have to accomplish these goals. So let me give you a little background first here. I bought in April 2016, I bought a 22-unit C-class property. It was built in 1925. And it looked like, from everything I could detect in the research that we put together for this, that it was really in the path of progress. On one side, you have an area called Irvington, which is an up-and-coming, very upscale area, and it is expanding in the direction of where this apartment is. On the other side, more towards the downtown Indianapolis area, there is a redevelopment effort. It's actually called the East Street Redevelopment East Washington Street redevelopment effort, and that is also doing great things, putting in business and industry into the area to promote jobs and other things. So the idea is that we are going to reposition this property, and that repositioning will help it to attract a higher level of clientele, and also at the same time be able to better position it in terms of the value of the asset itself. Part of the repositioning means that we've upgraded the exterior to make it more a stronger curb appeal. We've been upgrading the common areas that everyone shares. It has three levels. We have been rehabbing the apartments as they become available to upgrade them. Some of the things that we're doing are installing water conservation devices and so forth to make water use more efficiently. Again, water is covered by the landlord or the owner. Also switching from a boiler heating system to a electric heating system. And we have had gas stoves in there. We're converting to gas stoves. Each unit will have its own baseboard type electric heating to heat up the unit. And that is all being driven by the fact that we're trying to reduce the expenses of the property. The tenants do cover electric. The landlord covers water and gas. So those things happening later on, we hope to even introduce a RUBS program so that even the shared utilities, the water and the gas, will be shared, as well as the tenants will be covering that as well. Part of the motivation here too is that this was our first larger property. So because of that, we didn't get the best rates. And so in order to purchase this, I did a cash out refi on three other properties I have in other states. And then I used those funds to purchase this apartment. So basically there are a number of loans involved here. There's the apartment loan itself, and then the refis that is the equivalent of two other loans out that I used to purchase this and come up with the rehab cash to be able to do the rehab and the upgrades. So I am very motivated, because they're not a great rate, to be able to bring this apartment up to sort of peak performance. And that means that the cash flow will be strong. The appearance of it inside and out will be also improved, and that the financials will be strong so that we can refi the loan around April, which would be the 1 year anniversary, and be able to maybe pay off those refi loans that I took out on other properties because of the equity, hopefully, that was built into this equation, and to be able to renegotiate a new loan for the apartment itself. So hopefully one loan that's going to cover the apartment, with the cash out on that, we can pay off the other loan. Another motivation here too is to be able to move into hopefully some sort of Fannie Mae product or something that might be anywhere from 3 to 4 points less than what we're paying right now. We had a pretty aggressive plan when we came out of the chute on this, and we're moving forward rapidly, instituting some of these upgrades and so forth. And unfortunately, my property manager had a family tragedy. His wife had a major brain aneurysm, and has really been going through therapy and a lot of other things, but it's been really, really difficult for him. And he's got three kids. He's trying to be dad and mom, and also run his own business. And it's been a lot on him, and a big stress on him and his family. So that kind of threw us off a little bit, and we had to sort of recalculate our plan. He has been doing the best he can. We have been trying to work with him, and part of this effort too is to come out there and to try to make it a little bit easier for him by being proactive in moving things forward and getting this place rented. We currently have 7 vacancies. We have done a number of rehabs already, but we still have more to do. It's at about 60% occupancy. There is not a lot of cash left. We've spent most of our cash in the upgrades that we have done, and so we really need to boost cash flow to continue doing these upgrades as well. So that's really what motivated this stealth marketing campaign is you know, primarily to get new tenants in, to get all the available apartments fully completed and rent ready so that we can move. When I arrived, the first thing I did is really regroup. This was not an easy thing. I've got, you know, kids at home, I've got my wife, I've left everybody for this time period, and so I'm very motivated to get it done so I can get back home. I've divided my time into 6 key categories: networking, tenant marketing, rehab, tenant survey, prospective tenant contact, and administration. Networking, let me explain each of these to you. The main idea is to make contact with other investors that are in the area and to try to present who we are, what we're doing, and maybe there's other landlords, for example, that they have 1, 2-bedroom, 3 bedrooms. They don't have any studios, so they'd be a referral source for that. There's also employers and other people in the area. There's a number of community assistance groups here that are actively working with groups that are trying to locate them into their first apartment and so forth. So it's networking with these people and making contact. How am I meeting them? Meetup meetings, service club meetings, one-on-one meetings, setting appointments, building alliances as I network and I talk to other landlords in the area and some of these groups. Second, tenant marketing. In the past, they have relied on walk-ins. They've stuck signs out front and the walk-ins have come in and basically been, you know, folks that applied. Well, the area has a tendency in some areas to be a little transient, and the people that would walk in might not be the caliber that we would hope to have as a long-term tenant. So I'm moving a lot of the marketing effort into online sources, the people that would have access to a computer that would be looking up and responding to our ads. So I am very active in apartments.com and Hotpads and even Rentberry, although it hasn't been very effective, Craigslist, Zillow, Trulia, Realtor.com, and so forth. So getting good, favorable information out there to let people know about the property and trying to get people to respond. I also have targeted special employer groups, those that seem to employ a number of people in the area, and I've put together flyers that basically are like something that could be posted in an employee area that has pictures of the apartment, that talks about a special offer for the employees of what, and then fill in the blank, the name of the company. I put that right on the little poster, and they get like basically 1 month free if they sign a 12-month lease. And these are being distributed to these various employers in the area and employer groups. Also, rehab work. I'm here working with contractors and the other folks that are trying to get available places rent ready. Even I moved into a unit and I'm even rehabbing a kitchen while I'm living here. When all of my other stuff is done, I'm you know, working on the kitchen, trying to get it up to par, and anything else I can do in this unit or other units in my free time, so I don't go stir crazy being away from my family and my wife. And I'm not a real handy guy, but I do what I can do. Being here though has been real helpful, especially for the contractors. Number 4, I'm doing a tenant survey, and that allows me to be able to talk to tenants and to find out, you know, why did they come here? What was the motivation, and how did they get referred, or how did they find out about the place? What do they like? What don't they like? What needs to be changed? What can we do to make things better, to make it more of a home for them? And I know there's risk to getting involved with tenants on that level, especially as the owner, but it's really been helpful for me and the information that I'm collecting, because it is helping me to better position this property. I found that I had kind of shot a little bit too high, thinking I might be able to attract what I call the hipster Hoosiers here. And it's just not right for that yet. Maybe a little bit further on, you know, that we might be attracting, you know, more millennial crowd. But I think we're really looking for those that have a solid job, and maybe they're a little bit older. It has, just by the survey alone, I'm finding out a lot of things. Number five, to be the prospective tenant contact, the person that'll show the property. So when they contact us, I'm here. And the great thing about it is I'm always here. So if somebody wants to come at 10 o'clock at night, they want to come at 5 in the morning, I will show them an apartment. And so that's something that you don't usually have, even where you have on-site people. Again, this is stealth tenant marketing, so I'm a little bit more aggressive. Not only that, but as we get leads, and we do get leads from, especially from apartments.com and hotpads.com, I respond to them with an email. If I don't hear back from them, I send another email. If I don't hear back from them, I call them. And I am booking showings, and I'm having people come in. And if they don't show, I rebook an appointment with them, and I just stay on it. And I'm a lot more aggressive than most property managers would be to get people in. But I've got the tenants that I have, the two that I've already booked here, through that process. And then finally, I'm here for administrative. As I learn things, understand better about the budget and our financials, where our money goes, where we could be more efficient and so forth, I'm also working in those areas too. And from that, I'm going to be establishing systems with my property manager that will work with their style and their situation as well, so that we can make things continue to be able to function and to be able to find new tenants and to replace those that leave in an efficient manner. A big part of it is, when I came in here, is really just to sit down with my property manager, discuss my objectives, let him know what I'm doing here, share with him the marketing that I'm employing, and hoping that he'll adopt some of these techniques too, realizing he's got other clients. As he sees how things work, and as they work, I'm hoping he'll incorporate it into what he's doing. So let me just give you a quick little rundown, because this is really supposed to be an update, but I wanted to give you the background information here. And I'm hoping you'll learn from this too, because it's been really helpful for me. The highlights are sort of my first 3 weeks here. First off, the not so good things and some of the challenges that I do have to face. As a number of our tenants, they're all very nice people, but there are some issues, and a lot of them are here on disability, and there's nothing wrong with that. They tend to be home. Some of those people are alcoholics. Some of them are quiet and stick to themselves. Others get loud, and some fight with other tenants, not necessarily physically, but they are some issues. There are also some couples living with each other that are fighting and are getting loud. And already one of the tenants, this is before I came out here, actually left, saying, you know, the place was too loud or too many drunks and so forth. That's one of the challenges I'm dealing with, especially as I'm trying to introduce a different level of tenant to come in, that is a working person who wants to come back to a quiet place and to be able to have a peaceful home to come back to. So part of that is introducing new rules, and as I'm seeing what needs to be done, that these rules, some are going to like and obey, and others aren't. And so there will be some attrition. There will be some people that will leave. And we're hoping that the ones that stay will be the ones that are adhering to the rules and are helping to make this a nice place to live. Gosh, after my first day here, or a couple of days here, there was this huge party next door to a house that a gentleman rents out to a lot of young people, and the party got out of hand. It was really loud, and one of my tenants came to me and said, you know, can you call the police? And we tried to talk with them, but that didn't go anywhere, so went up to call the police, and as I'm calling, I hear three gunshots that go off, and so I told the police, you better come right away. And And they came and they arrested a couple of people. No one was hurt, you know, thank God. And but, you know, it just got out of hand, and some gangsters, I guess, apparently showed up and made it a lot more uncomfortable. But these are the kind of things we're I'm dealing with. I did talk to the owner of the property and expressed my concern, and he's working to really try to, you know, cut down the, you know, that type of thing. And he actually is evicting these the folks that were doing the party and so forth. So we're working with the community. He is really, really appreciative of the fact that there's somebody that cares next door, and that, you know, we can even talk together and come up with ideas to make the community better in this area. I know this sounds like this is like really a bad area, but it's not. That's what's so weird about it. It is an area in transition. I've experienced my share of tenant dramas and ambulances in the middle of the night by some of our more elderly people that have health issues, even battling bed bugs and cockroaches as we try to find a good pest control person and so forth. I mean, I'm here. I've got the bites from the bed bugs, and this is good for me because I'm learning, you know, more about what it means to live in this community here. The good things, okay, I kind of went over the negatives, but let me go over the good things. The good thing is that all the empty units are almost completely upgraded. We've been able to really advance that, and we're real close to having all of them done. One of our tenants that I booked moving in on Friday, actually the day that this will air. And we've got other units that are just, you know, just a couple of days away from being ready. I'm making some great contacts, people that are going to help us in our overall effort. We really want to be a good, positive element in this community, and we're doing all we can to try and make that a case. We don't want to have people here that are harming the neighborhood or causing problems. We really want to make it a good neighborhood for folks. You know, we're starting to get calls from some of those that we left flyers with, some of the employers. And so that's a positive thing happening. I've found some tenants that are going to be advocates for us and are going to help stick to supporting the rules and making this a nice place to live in. So we've got some great things that have happened. We do have ongoing challenges ahead. I recognize that. And rehabbing the units and turning them around in time, you know, and upgrading them as we have transition in the community is going to be an issue. We're really going to have to, again, systematize the tenant mix issues as we bring in people who are more working people and so forth, and making sure that there's not going to be a problem there. As we do upgrade, that we constantly have a higher standard for the folks that we do bring in. And once we reach the 90% point, is maintaining it as well. So we do have some challenges ahead, and I still have about 10 days to go, and I'm looking to maximize every day of that 10 days to reach our goal. Well, that's it for today. That's my update. Old Dog listeners, everything here is presented in our show notes section. And that's actually under olddogsreinetwork.com/blog. Okay. No, it's not in the show notes section because we don't have one. It's in the blog section right now. And then look for episode 044. It's entitled View from the Trenches, Stealth Tenant Marketing Update from Indy. And you should be able to not have to worry about taking notes. If there's things that are helpful for you there, it's all in the show notes. So that's it. It's ran a little bit longer than I usually do on my Friday, Fun Facts Fridays, but hopefully everything was helpful to you there. So until next time, remember, cash flow is king and real estate investing the means. Thanks again for listening, and God bless.
Thank you very much for visiting the Old Dogs REI Network. We would greatly appreciate if you would stop by iTunes and let us know what you think of the show. We would love if you could subscribe to the podcast, give us a 5-star rating, and write a review. The more ratings and reviews we receive, the more visible the podcast will be to others. Thank you.
And now another no-brainer money-saving tip from Progressive.
Marcus, what happened?
I was changing my oil and I spilled some on the floor.
Oh, well, use these $50 bills to wipe it up.
Perfect. Got any more?
Yeah, take a couple hundred.
Stop. Instead of using money, use an old rag. And here's a better tip from Progressive on how not to waste money. Don't pay too much for car insurance. Drivers who switch and save could save hundreds. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Potential savings will vary.